It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. My people at home, my people at work, my people delivering, my people dropping off, my people watching, my people helping other people. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City. And thank you for tuning in. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got Sirius XM, it's channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've talked about a lot. The Final Four is set. NFL owners meetings is going on in Florida. We got more dumb injuries in baseball. Freddie Freeman, he got an ankle injury in the shower. Happens to the best of us. And then Jurassic Profar, who just signed with the Atlanta Braves from San Diego. He's been suspended half the season for performance-enhancing drug use. Welcome to Atlanta. Yankees are cheating with their bats. Not really. Some people think they're cheating. I don't think they're cheating. Baseball says they're not cheating, so they're not cheating. Andrew Luck connected with Frank Reich to be his new head coach for 1 year at Stanford. And thank you to our guests. Joe Rexroad, joining us from The Athletic. And then also Mark Ross, former New York Giants executive, to talk about all things NFL owners meetings. He says he thinks Aaron Rodgers is cooked, done, and is a waste of time. It's me paraphrasing, not his words, but that's pretty much my interpretation. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. That's on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all of the things. I'm going to share some more NFL news and quotes with you. We just talked about the league trying to ban the tush push, and league has just gone soft. Yeah, we'll talk more. I'm hanging out with you for one more hour. The show gets started 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. At the end of the show, of course, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Hickey, I got something to be ahead of the mark here. You ready for this, Hickey?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
I know. I think I mentioned this last week or whatever. I don't be knowing. Today in sports history, March 31st, 2009, the JR Sport Brief was born.
Nice. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it's 16 years old, Hickey. 16 years old.
So you can get a driver's a permit. Learner's permit.
Yeah, get a permit.
Wow. You know,
drive on a curb a little bit. Scare people on the road. Yeah, do all of that stuff. You know, realize what the brake is for. Hickey, ironically, totally unrelated. I've taught quite a few people how to drive, and I don't know if this is good or bad advice. I always tell, I haven't taught somebody in a while, but when I did, Hickey, I told him driving a car is like making love. Sometimes you got to know when to speed up, and you got to know when to stop. You got to know when to hit the brake. You got to know when to accelerate. You can't just, you know, like when you turn the wheel, you just can't whip the wheel. Or you got to know when to go and slow down and all that stuff, Hickey. So yeah, I got my learner's permit. Thank you very much.
I like that description a lot. The problem is that what? You really can't teach that, and that's the issue. If you're trying to teach, it's a feel thing.
You got to assume that someone has made love before?
Or
is that wrong? No.
I mean, yeah, I guess, because like you really, you can't just explain it, you know? It's just like, it's all about you, how you
I'm thinking
feel.
About this. I'm thinking, well, one of my friends, I taught her, she had a kid already, so I think she knows how to, and she knows how it goes. Another one is one of my male friends. I think he definitely knows how it goes. Yeah, I think everybody I know, I think they've had experience in one area before they got behind the wheel. So there you have it.
So they understood your teachings and picked up pretty quickly. Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna use that explanation to everybody except for my own kids. Okay.
And I think this is exactly why you can never be a driver's ed teacher. Yeah. For most high school kids.
You can't say that to high. No, you can't say that to high school. Hey, listen, kids, I know you're 16 and 17. The way you drive a car is you got to pretend like you're making love. Think about this. No sudden movement. Oh, no. Yeah, good idea, Hickey. Right. Good idea.
Keep doing your thing now, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good idea. But in all seriousness, it's good. I like to, Hickey, that's why I asked you about some photos. I'm going to save some quote-unquote stuff for tomorrow to just kind of share some more. I'm just going through videos and photos, and it's just crazy just to look at everything. And it's a lot. 16 years is a long time. It's a whole kid. Maybe that's a whole child, right?
It is. You've raised them, you know, through their infancy stages. They've graduated middle school. They're right now probably in the middle of high school. They start looking at colleges soon.
Yeah.
Exciting time.
Yeah, I look at just everything. I started the show in my bedroom. It's taken me all over the world and just a lot. TV and now radio, and it's still more online. It's just and there's so much more to be done. So it's fun. And thank you for being a part of the fun, Hickey. I got to tell you, while you're here, thank you. I appreciate it. You make coming to work and working, you make it easy. Okay.
Likewise. I am very glad to be a part of the experience. Hopefully for a lot longer. This has been a lot of fun.
No, most definitely. Speaking of fun, by the way, why does Jameis Winston look like he got a better introductory press conference than Russell Wilson? I'm just now seeing this. It's like he's sweating under the lights. They also gave him a Zoom press conference. It looks like better quality, too.
Isn't today, I saw that, I'm like, man, for how much we kind of bagged the whole Russ thing last week, this feels 10 times worse.
What, with Jameis?
Every Giants reporter is down in Florida covering the owners' meetings.
Yeah.
And now they decide, okay, well, no one's here. We're going to stick Jameis on Zoom as they're trying to chase down Joe Shane and Brian Daboll all day and all week in Florida. Here, Jameis, here, in the middle of the day, just here's a little press conference for you.
Right, right.
For how bad it was for Russ, and I felt rushed as he's trying to get to the Knicks game, and I think he wanted to tell everyone he's going to the Knicks game, this feels way worse. Like,
well,
you're just forgotten. You're just an afterthought.
Well, let's be real. Jameis Winston is, he's going to get a lot of the attention. I don't care what Russell Wilson does all year long. And maybe not. I don't know. I feel like Jameis isn't going to be an afterthought. I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up with some television show in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a personality. He'd be doing himself a disservice if he was on the New York Giants roster and didn't flip this or parlay this into a larger media opportunity. I wouldn't feel bad if I wouldn't feel bad for the guy. He's going to make out of New York like a bandit. You don't think so?
No, I would agree with that. But I'm just saying in terms of like seriousness, maybe of like, hey, we got, you know, a quarterback that could be, you know, starting some games here for us.
Uh-huh.
We're going to introduce him to the fans on a day that most people will not care. It's almost like trying to, like, hide him in a way of just like, all right, here's Jameis. We did it. We checked the box. Okay, let's run in. Let's focus now on everything else.
I don't think New York Giant fans care.
Well.
And I think if there was anything worthwhile or worth a damn out of it, I think we would have heard it by now. I don't think any of that exists.
Fair, I guess. Well, maybe Jameis was saving all his good material for press conferences where people are actually there and people are watching.
Well, we'll see. New York Giants certainly got some options and choices here. Hickey just mentioned it. We got half the media down in Florida to chat with all the owners, and Connor Hughes from SNY talked about Jameis. Why? Because the New York Giants, they have Russell Wilson, they have Jameis Winston, they have Tommy DeVito, who lives down the block with his mom. She folds his underwear and makes his dinner. What a good life he's living. They also have the number 3 overall pick in the draft. And so if a Shador Sanders is still there, if a Cam Ward is still there, what do the New York Giants do? We just heard this from Mark Ross as well. You just going to go into the season with Russell Wilson and Jameis? Connor Hughes, he gave a report on the Giants' thought process. Listen to this.
And in a perfect world, Joe Shane would find that quarterback in this year's draft, unless picking number 3, that player is not there. That's something that Joe Shane, when he met the media here at the NFL's annual meeting, stressed. Yes, the Giants need to find their future franchise quarterback. Ideally, that happens this offseason. But if the quarterback isn't there, they are not going to force the issue.
Man, they may be forced out of a job if they don't end up with a quarterback. Like, that's the fun part about this upcoming draft. What happens at number 1 with the Tennessee Titans? What happens at number two with the Browns? We just talked about this last hour. You got Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, who says that bringing in Deshaun Watson was a big swing and a miss. Ouch. A big ouch. And so if you are the Browns, let's think about them first before we get to the Titans. And you're Kevin Stefanski. You're trying to figure out who you're bringing in at the quarterback position. You want to know what you're going to do at number two. Hey, Stefanski, are you interested in Shador? This is what he said earlier today.
He's an extremely talented football player. Again, getting to know the kid, you watch the tape, I think the important part as an evaluator is you want to talk to the player about plays and how he plays. And I think he sees the game really, really well, has been raised the right way. They've done an outstanding job bringing him along in terms of understanding football. But he's a very, very talented young man. But off the field is where I'm probably most impressed.
Oh, that's nice. Like a lot of the news and a lot of the information that we've received about Shador Sanders has been crap. He didn't pay attention in the meetings. He didn't take the meetings seriously. And it was garbage. I mean, we can't just judge the guy off of what he does out there on the football field, what he did in Colorado, helping to turn him around alongside his dad and then also Travis Hunter. It's a wild world. We'll see where Shador ends up. I don't expect this man to fall any further than the Raiders. I'd be shocked if he fell any further than the Raiders. Meanwhile, the team that is selecting number one overall, the Tennessee Titans, they got a lot of options. They can trade out of the spot. They can keep the pick. They can select the quarterback. They're going out on dinners with Cam Ward. It looks like the Tennessee Titans are enamored with their options, especially with Cam Ward. Their head coach, Brian Callahan, who's had to rip his eyeballs out, looking at Will Levis throw passes all across the field into the wrong team. Brian Callahan says, oh yeah, Cam Ward, we like him. We like him a lot.
We spent a lot of time with him between the 30 visit, the combine, the pro day, and then the private. So we've had all of our possible touch points. We have a couple more hours of Zoom left to us per league rules, and we'll use all of those touch points that we get. And feel really good about what we've learned and how we've learned it. He's an impressive young man, and excited to kind of get through the rest of the process.
Well, isn't this nice? Everybody's patting the new quarterbacks on the back instead of tearing them down. But what are you going to say in public? Who says anything negative about any of their prospects in public? It's always reports and rumors this. Nobody puts their name. It's anything negative. It's always done in the background, in the back rooms. And so, yeah, you feel good about Cam Ward. You're going to take him a number one overall, right? You're not going to trade the pick, Brian, right? Tell me.
I think we're open to everything at this point. I mean, we've been consistent with that approach from the get-go, and that hasn't changed. We're doing our due diligence on all the options available to us. And when it comes time to make the decision, we'll make it. And there won't be really – we'll have done it knowing we've gone through every bit of the process and looked at every possible outcome and feel really good about it at that point.
Yeah, what the heck is he supposed to say? He can't say, no, we're not going to trade the pick. Why is he going to eliminate potential options? There's nothing better in life and business than just having options in front of you so you can do what's in your best interest. If somebody comes through and blows the Tennessee Titans and blows their socks off with an offer that they can't refuse, you trade the pick. Otherwise, you just go ahead and select Cam Ward. Come on. You got to walk it safe. The Tennessee Titans have made enough dumb decisions over the past several years. Like, I don't know, getting rid of Mike Vrabel, which is one of the dumbest decisions that has certainly worked in the favor of the New England Patriots. Coaches are always going to lie. They got to look out for themselves, too. I mean, damn it, we talked about Jimmy Haslam from the Browns. He's basically told a lie to himself and to the public for years now. Like, at what point do you think he realized that bringing in Deshaun Watson wasn't a good idea? We just heard it publicly today for the very first time. Yeah, sports isn't just what you watch on the field and what you see on the court. There's a business behind it, as you already know. There's a lot of manipulation going on. Coaches aren't going to say everything that's on their mind, and neither are the owners. Man, you got coaches that will absolutely have to lie to cover their backsides, to cover their futures, to look out for themselves. And that's just part of the business. I guess that's part of everything, is telling lies. Not here, though. We don't tell lies on the JR Sport Brief Show. A matter of fact, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, there are even more comments across sports about coaches saying wild things that are probably not true. Kim Mulkey, I don't think she's ever, has she told a lie? She's been very direct. LSU's been eliminated from the women's NCAA tournament. And Kim Mulkey, she didn't tell a lie. And she was very direct. Hey, speaking of Miami, we talked about everybody being down in Florida and the Marlins are getting their asses whooped by the Mets right now. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, is he telling lies? Because it looks like Tyreek Hill is still considering a trade? Or is he just messing around on the internet? And then how about this? Last night, we had a fight in the NBA that spilled into the stands. It wasn't a malice at the palace. But we had the Pistons and the Timberwolves. Well, they were going at it. And we had a coach in J.B. Bickerstaff. I don't know. Maybe he's lying to protect his ass. So we got a whole lot more to do before we get out of here. We'll hear from some college basketball coaches as well. We got a few of them, well, four of them, on their way to the Final Four. And, of course, at the end of the show, we'll go through a few things that took place this day in sports history. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Right before we went to break, we talked about the fact that coaches just lie. They stand in front of the media and they tell lies. Because you don't just play the game on the field. You got to play it with the media. You got to play with the fans. You don't want to be at a disadvantage to some of the other teams like Brian Callahan. The head coach of the Tennessee Titans, he pretty much said that we still believe and we are taking the approach that we're still open for business when it comes to the number one overall pick. We're not going to take Cam Ward. It's not guaranteed. We still hold the option of trading number one. And why would he just tell everybody exactly what they're going to do? It serves them absolutely no purpose right now. So don't believe anything that's coming out of Brian Callahan's mouth. Now, I do want to get to a few other coaches who said some words today, maybe not telling the truth, like a Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins. And Tyreek Hill is back on the internet seemingly complaining about his pathway and his future with the Dolphins. But Mike McDaniel said he's not worried about it. But we'll get to that in a second. I actually want to hear from a few coaches that I think are telling the truth. Because these guys are actually doing some winning right now. They happen to be some of the coaches that are on their way to the Final Four in San Antonio, Texas, this upcoming Saturday as they get ready to hopefully compete for a championship next Monday night. We got four coaches in college basketball who are on their way to potentially winning their first title because they never won a damn thing. Well, not a national championship. On one hand, we got Bruce Pearl, we got Todd Golden, we got Kelvin Sampson, we got John Shire. Someone not telling a lie is John Shire. With Duke on their way to another Final Four, potentially another championship, Duke has to get through Houston. John Shire says, of course I'm not shocked that we're on the way to another Final Four. We're Duke.
Couldn't be more excited and happy for these guys to my left. I think Tyrese and I, the feeling of losing last year at this point, every decision we made, everything we did was to get back here and then have the team have the opportunity to advance to the promised land, to go to San Antonio, to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, you Duke, we expect this from you, okay? You're not saying anything groundbreaking. What about somebody else who maybe so much wasn't expected to be here? Man, he had his own issues. He was investigated for, this is woman-related. We'll stay away from that. I don't want to get in trouble. You can look it up. You can search Todd Golden. But Todd Golden, he says, man, we're in the Final Four. We're going to take on Auburn. He told CBS Sports that he couldn't believe it. I bet he couldn't.
It's crazy, to be honest. You know, I think if we would have said this at the beginning of the year, a lot of people would have laughed at us, you know, that we would have been meeting in the Final Four. Surreal. You know, as you know, Bruce is one of my mentors, and his son Steven's one of my best friends. And I FaceTimed with Steven last night after they got the win. We were just sitting there shaking our head, like, really? You know, we're meeting up again here in the Final Four. Like, it's hard to believe. But I'm incredibly happy for them and just proud of the success that their program's had. And I know they feel the same way about us. And, you know, if you're gonna play somebody you care about, you might as well make it in the Final Four, where at least one of you guys will have an opportunity to go win the national championship in the next game you play in.
Nah, we'll see. We got plenty of time to get into that as the week continues on. I wonder how fast this week is going to go. Hickey, I bet that one of them Saturday games is probably going to be late, too. Right, at 6 and 9 o'clock, I believe, right?
If you want to get exact, 6:09 and, well, scheduled 8:49.
8:49 is the second game.
Eastern.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, we get overtime, maybe a lot of whistles, choppy play. That's probably like 9:08.
Oh, boy.
9:20.
Okay. And this is Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Hickey, if it's not a good game in like the first 10, 15 minutes, I might fall asleep for 5 minutes. I might.
I thought you were going to say I shut it off completely.
No, I might fall asleep.
Okay.
The game and the television might end up watching me. I'm just being honest. I'll wake up, but I'll be like, oh, crap, there's like 10 minutes left in the game. What happened to the other 20 that I missed?
But if you wake up 10 minutes to go, it's a great game. Then perfect timing.
Perfect. I can't knock that. Perfect timing. Hey, speaking of people telling lies, Kim Mulkey, she don't have to tell no lies. She will not be coaching in another game the rest of the year. LSU eliminated from Women's March Madness. And Kim Mulkey, all those years at Baylor, won a championship a couple of years ago with LSU. And no championship last year, no championship this year. LSU just lost to UCLA. And I guess I don't know if this is good or bad. I feel like I haven't heard Kim Mulkey say anything this year. Until yesterday, when a reporter had to ask her about being eliminated again. And let's just say her response to the reporter, it was noteworthy. Listen to this.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight.
That's
just
terrible.
Yeah.
Is that terrible or is that good?
Terrible.
Is it? How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Man, why is she such a jerk? Hickey, why is she a jerk to that? Did he ask anything that was so bad? Like, can we listen to that again? I want to make sure I heard it correctly.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight.
That's
just
terrible,
yeah.
Is that terrible or is that good?
Terrible.
Is it? How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she was a jerk on it. Like, she interrupted his question. He's like, you've been eliminated twice. Before he can get his actual question out, she's already positing it into his lap. Is that good or is it terrible? What is he supposed to go? Oh, it's good. It's good that you've been eliminated twice. Like, she set him up to be a jerk. Like, is it really that necessary to be a jerk? And he sounds like a young guy. Like, give the guy a break. And then you set the young dude up to be embarrassed. And I don't know the full context. I don't know if she apologized. I'm joking. I doubt it. Like, that's wholly unnecessary. And I feel like we got a lot of this when we had Jim Boeheim at the end of his road with the Syracuse Orange. He's just beating down on the young reporters. It's just like, is this an indoctrination? Is this an initiation into being in the media? Just going to chop you down? Right out of the gate? I don't know. Hickey, am I overreacting? She was a jerk.
I think so. I think she was joking. I've watched it a lot, and I was able to find like an extended version. She threw a wink at him after that. I think she was more... I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a weird time, I will say, because your season just ended in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a time to joke. I think she was having a little fun and joking more than being serious and trying to maybe put a reporter in their place or try to make an excuse.
There was more context to it then, huh?
That's at least what
okay.
I mean, I don't know. When I first saw it, I was 50-50. I think I'm going to lean that more. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I think she was joking.
She's been pretty spicy in the past, though. You know,
very. She's not afraid to go after someone or say what's definitely not afraid to say what's on her mind.
No, I just hope the guy's he's okay. He'll live. You know, she didn't chain him up somewhere and beat him up. You know, so I think he'll be okay. But that's kind of rough. Imagine being a young reporter and here you are in the room. Maybe you're one of the first times you've been, or I don't know. Just have a little bit of understanding of people when you chat with them. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Hickey, I'll look up the extended version. I don't know. We haven't heard from her all year. And you know what? I don't know if we'll hear from her next year. All her players, as far as I know, the ones that I knew are gone. Angel Reese is gone. Anissa Morrow is gone. Flajay Johnson is now going to be gone. I don't know. Kim Mulkey probably has some great recruiting class that's on its way in, but I don't know. Are you watching the tournament? You eager?
Yeah, I've been watching. I think it's been exciting.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen him at it. No, I'm just saying. Juju went down. I'm like, no thanks.
That's it. You're out?
Bro, you know I'm waiting on Caitlin Clark. Come on.
That starts, I guess, soon, right? WNBA, what, around Memorial
Day? May? Yeah. May? Mother's Day? Something like that?
6 weeks, roughly?
Yeah.
Not bad.
I haven't seen much. I've seen as much of them as I have the UFL. Is that what it is? UFL, USFL?
Hey, at least, I mean, with the UFL, you forgot they were even a thing. So right. You know, we're on the radar there.
And that just came on television by accident on Sunday. Saturday.
It found you.
It found me. Hey, Marco, did you watch the UFL the other day?
Negative.
No. Okay.
I didn't even know it was on.
I was going to ask you, were you even aware?
I had no idea until you just mentioned it right now.
No Alabama. Nope, they're not called Alabama.
They're not?
Nope. Nope. No Birmingham Stallions?
No.
Could you name another team, Marco? Outside of the Birmingham Stallions?
Do they still have the Houston Gamblers?
No?
I asked the question without knowing the answer myself.
I used to watch the USFL back in the day, but I don't know who they still have.
Nah, bro.
And back in the day means back in the day, not, you know, 2 years ago. I'm talking about Herschel Walker Generals back in the day.
There are no Houston Gamblers playing right now.
No.
Are you serious?
I don't know. I have no idea where they came from or what they do.
Somebody started up.
You got the Bandits? What was it, Tampa? Tampa Bay Bandits?
Last year, the Houston Gamblers, I guess they are now defunct.
Oh.
Okay. About a year later, they're defunct. Their last internet activity was like last year.
Internet activity? Damn, that means like there's nobody in the office.
The Houston Gamblers were an American football team that competed in the USFL 84-85. All right. The Houston Roughnecks. There we go. All right.
Huh. Okay, so they went back to Houston but didn't use the original name. Okay.
Yeah, you can't have a professional sports team call them the Gamblers.
No?
Not in 2025. No, you can't.
I thought especially in 2025. The BetMGM Gamblers.
Say now you could do it? You'd be sponsored? Why not?
The USFL wants to survive.
Wait, they did. Okay, from 2022 to 2023, the Gamblers came back, all right? That did happen. And then on January 1st, in merging with the XFL, they became the Roughnecks. So there we have it. They're the Roughnecks as of 2024, no longer the Gamblers.
So Roughnecks was looked at better than Gambler.
You can't have nobody in Gambler.
I don't see why not. I see this day and age, I think you'd be sponsored. They can actually maybe get paid.
The Houston Gamblers? I don't know.
Maybe like in the casino, sponsored by BetMGM, you could have like one of the Gamblers call a play. Why not?
Yeah, but there's certain things you can't. There's certain names that you can't have. Like we already got terrible team names. Like, let's see.
Like what?
The Heat, not the Magic, right? What do you call somebody who plays for the Magic? I hate this. What do you call them?
A magician.
A Magic? A what?
A magician.
The magician.
Paolo Banchero, the magician.
He's an Orlando Magic. That's what he is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The guy who plays for the Miami Heat, he's a Heat.
What about Utah? Same thing. They're a Jazz.
He's a Jazz.
Yeah. He's a Jazz.
What about the Utah Hockey Club? What do you call someone who's part of them?
Did they even get a name yet?
No,
not yet.
No.
They're trending towards maybe never having one. They like the hockey club.
Oh, come on.
They couldn't have Yeti, right? Yeti was no
Why
good.
Why can't they?
The coolers.
Who?
The cooler.
Well, I don't feel like I'm going to happen to Costello. What the hell just happened here?
The coolers. Why don't they call, you know, hey, if they really want to be jerks, since they can't use Yeti, right? Because of the coolers, Marco.
I don't know what that is. I think you made
Yeti,
it up.
Yeti cooler.
Yeti cooler?
Yeah, all right. But what does that got to do with the team? You can't have anything else?
Why did 25 years, remember the WWE had beef? No, they would, the WWF and the World Wildlife Federation said we can't be associated with wrestling. People were confused.
But that was only because of the website. You're telling me they can't figure out another better website? That's the problem? Because that was a website thing. The WWF didn't want to pay the whatever the foundation was to get the website. So they went to WWE. Vince McMahon just went cheap. That's all it was. The okay. World Wildlife. So you could buy out the Yeti coolers if you want, and if you don't, you can get a different, a different website.
Yeti coolers are a big
deal. Yeah, they're kind of big. So you can get a different website.
Is Yeti cool? Are they publicly traded? I bet they are. What? I don't know. No, they're private. I don't know.
I don't know. That's weak, man.
Yo, I'm looking at a cooler. This thing says it's $250.
Oh, they're expensive.
For a cooler?
They are very expensive.
There is a Yeti cooler at Ace Hardware for $800. Okay?
Damn.
They making money. You think some brand new, well, that guy, he's a hedge fund guy, right? The guy who owns the Jazz as well. I forgot his name. Miller or something like that.
Come on, we're just talking gambler sponsorship. Ryan. Get in bed with them. Everything is brought to you by Yeti. What's the problem?
Listen, let me tell you something.
Do it for free.
If they name that team the Utah Yetis, is that what it is?
The Utah Yetis, and then everything that's in the place is all sponsored by Yeti Coolers, and you give it to them for free for getting the name. Win-win.
I don't know about all that. People want money, man. I'd wear Utah Yeti gear if that was the name. But I feel like, Higgy, they're going to come up with some stupid name that has nothing to it. Nothing.
Probably pretty safe, too.
Utah, isn't that what they're going by, right? Utah Hockey Club? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that sucks.
This is like Washington when, what were they, the Washington football team of D.C.? What do they call themselves?
Washington football team.
The football team?
Yeah, but they're all thinking like it's European soccer. Like you, right. That doesn't work. It sucks. Club. Get a nickname. Even if it's bad, get one, something.
Utah Hockey Club?
Nah, that's weak.
Yeah.
Club sounds better than team, if you want to. Semantics.
We're splitting hairs here. All of it sucks.
I agree. I mean, I don't disagree. I'm with JR. Yeti should be by far and away. The runaway favorite.
Maybe they'll figure that out. What are the last names that they have left?
The Mammoth. They all sucked, didn't they?
Mammoth or the Outlaws. No thanks. It's stupid names.
Outlaws. Wasn't that old USFL team? See, it all goes back to the USFL.
Yeah, this is dumb. Anyway, I hope they do better. When we come back, we're going to start to wrap things up. We'll hear from Mike McDaniel and see whether or not he's a liar as a head coach. And then, of course, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Back. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is March 31st. The year is 2025. But if we go back in history, unfortunately, this day, March 31st in 1931, we found out that Notre Dame head coach Newt Rockne, this man passed away in a plane crash. Three titles at Notre Dame from 1918 to 1930. He is one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. Someone who also coached the Fighting Irish, God rest his soul, Ara Parseghian. He talked about this man. He talked about Newt Rockne. This is from Notre Dame Athletics.
And I remember as a 7-8-year-old kid, communications weren't what they are today, and I'm standing out in the sidewalk, and back in those days, there was two newspapers, the Akron Beacon Journal and the Times, that one morning and one evening paper. And what would happen if they had something special, like when Newt Rockne was killed, they would have extras. And the newspaper boy would come down with these extras selling the newspapers to keep you up to date. We had radio, but still they would come out with these extras. I remember as a little kid, 7 or 8 years old, the newspaper guy coming down the street selling the extras. Rockne killed in crash. Rockne killed in airplane crash. And I had been aware, because I was a sports nut, of Rockne and Notre Dame because of their huge success. They were in the papers, not like I would be normally if I was older, but at least I was aware of it. And I remember that to this day.
God bless both of them. God rest their souls. March 31st, 1973. Ken Norton upset Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali. Well, look at me. I can't even talk. Ken Norton upset Muhammad Ali to win the NABF heavyweight title. Here's the final call.
Referee Frank Rustich, 7 points Norton, 5 points Ali.
There it is. One of the greatest upsets again in boxing history.
Yeah, Ken Norton won via split decision. Also broke Muhammad Ali's jaw. Muhammad Ali showed him a lot of love after he got beat up. And then they had two more fights later on that year. Muhammad Ali won. And then a couple of years after that at Yankee Stadium, Ali won again. March 31st, 1975, UCLA had won its 10th national championship in John Wooden's final game. They beat Kentucky 92-85. This was their 10th title in 12 years. Listen to the final call of that, courtesy of NBC.
He didn't win in his first 16 years at UCLA a national title. He won in his late 50s and 60s. UCLA has won the national title. They're ahead 92-85. Up on the rebound, Marcus Johnson. Getting across. 3-2-1. All over. UCLA.
Well, Jim, I'm extremely happy. I've had such a wonderful year with working with these youngsters. It's just, I've never had a finer group. We haven't had a single problem off the court or on the court all year. And I'm happy that they could go out this way too.
March 31st, 1994. Michael Jordan, he was sent to the Birmingham Barons by the Chicago White Sox. Michael Jordan, you might recall, he retired. Wanted to try his hand at baseball, especially, unfortunately, after the tragic murder of his dad. Michael Jordan, at the time in 94, he explained to MSNBC why he honored his dad by giving his hand at baseball.
It was a thing that we talked about. So it wasn't like the reason that I'm doing it is because he's dead, you know, because I was going to do it anyway. You know, I had plans to do it anyway. He's tried to talked me into doing it a couple of years before now, and I wasn't ready. And I guess in doing it now, it's like a thank you to him.
And yeah, well, we know ultimately he gave his hand. He gave it a try, tried his hand at it, came back to the NBA and won 3 more championships. Yeah, Michael Jordan, the sign from the White Sox to the Birmingham Barons, this day in 1994. Yeah, those are a few things that took place this day in sports history, and I'll throw myself out there. March 31st, 2009, the JR Sport Brief Show was born. I put up my first video and decided to insult Gary Sheffield, who I eventually told that, and he said he accepted my apology. A former Miami Marlin, too, by the way. A Florida Marlin. Also, speaking of Miami, I did tell you about how all these coaches out here, they tell lies. It's one of the last things we play before we get out of here. Tyreek Hill, the man. Hickey, what is he up to? 15 kids or something like that?
I think he's got a full basketball roster.
Yeah, he got a lot of kids. And he's still online kind of trolling, I guess, about wanting a trade out of Miami. And Mike McDaniel fashion, he said he's not worried about what Tyreek Hill does on the internet.
He's been in the building, more this year than the other years combined. Tyreek's known for like whatever antics on social media, he's entertaining and whatever. We're in a good spot where if there's anything that I needed to know, direct communication would be executed.
Okay, Hickey, he appears to be in mid-season form when it comes down to speaking with the media. The same cadence, same energy, same everything.
Always. He never changes. He's always in midseason form with that.
Bro, it's March. Yeah, and, well, I guess he's used to being in Florida. But, I mean, damn, bro, it's March. Just you would think he was asked about some game-breaking play in the middle of November. It's March, man. Being a head coach has sucked the life out of him. Did he have more enthusiasm when he got the job?
I feel like he's always sounded the same.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of are lost. I mean, at least from there, we understood what he was saying. We weren't kind of going down some rabbit hole of what the hell are we talking about?
Well, he didn't have 50 million uhs, and he had a couple in there, but he didn't have a million of them. He's going to have a lot of uhs if Tyreek Hill ultimately does demand a trade. I can see him asking out in about week two of the regular season. Let's see what happens there. Anyway, you've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic for coming by, having a chat with us about March Madness. We'll have more to do in March all week, or the tournament all week. And then also, thank you to Mark Ross, former New York Giants executive, NFL Network analyst, for coming through. If you missed any conversation about college basketball, football, the NBA, the NFL, fill in the blank, all of it, MLB, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. The JR Sport Brief Show is done. Bart Winkler coming up next. Thank you, Hickey. Thank you for listening.